All right. So I'm recording tonight's presentation, and I will try and get it up online. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get it up and running, and it will follow these slides. So I will try and do is I'll try and as we work I will try and reference the slide so people that use it, and I will try and make these PowerPoints available for people to use and listen to the audio and follow this so that you see how the presentation unfolds. So we're going to talk about chapter one, the measurement and the SI system of units. Objectives of tonight's presentation: explain the importance of measurement in understanding fire behavior, name the basic SI units of measurement, and convert between the values in SI units and English units, which is quite critical because in our environment, we still use the English system here. We came very close to switching to the SI system back in the 70s. And then all of a sudden they decided not to do it. So that's why we have to be able to go back and forth.
So just real quick, on the part of the Mendo complex that I was on, we actually had to work with the Australians and the Kiwis and into this problem,
mm-hmm.
because their terminology is based on this, and we were all using the English part.
Yes.
Trying to figure out how many gallons were in these buckets that these helicopters were using, and going to these guys who are part of the branches or the upper ups, and that thing, they'd say, "Oh, that was so many liters or whatever," and you look at them like, "The hell are you talking about?"
Yeah. Not that. Yeah.
I don't need liters for my report. I didn't know how many gallons that bucket was carrying.
Yeah.
How many times did that thing dip out of there? So it took a little while.
Yeah. Exactly.
Session in the middle of the safety zone to figure out what they were talking about.
Yeah. So again, that's why it's important. What I used to have is I used to always have the conversion factors in my folder. And stuff like that. So if I did run into that where I needed to communicate with people from Europe or Japan or stuff like that, I could immediately just go, okay, well, this is gallons, but now let's convert it to and do a spot conversion for them. Because the rest of the world, there's only a few places that use the English system. Understand the precision of a measurement and the reduced precision used in estimations. So there's what we call exact measurement and we call precision. So like a classic example, right? In hydraulics, the engineer, which I spent the last part of my career before I had to retire out, I was a engineer. So guesstimations, thumb up, thumb down, right? So that would be reduced precision. But it was enough to communicate, okay, I need more pressure, I need less pressure. And then based on that, what I'm doing in the diameter, I can kind of do some guesstimations in my head of what kind of gallons per minute would be happening at various pressures. But then a precise measurement would be, okay, taking into consideration what the friction loss is, and then measuring what your static pressure and what your residual pressure is, and the velocity coming out of the nozzle, then you can go into super precision. So again, but depending on what you're looking at, is going to have a big major impact on what you're trying to do. So in the laboratory conditions, we try and use precise measurements because when we do the gross measurements, we know that X amount of grams or X amount of kilos of this type of fuel burning is going to produce this amount of yield in terms of energy release rates, or ERRs, or another way of calling it, which in the fire service is called burning rate. So burning rate is telling you what that fire is producing, not taking into consideration in complete combustion, telling you what it is producing at various types of combustion, be it, super clean diffusion flame combustion to ventilation limited, like in most structure fires, you know, the oxygen level could drop down to near zero, and then you have smoldering conditions and all that. So based on the type of fire, you're going to have different energy yields depending on what kind of fire. And so that's in the labs, that's what we take a look at. We take a look at the fuel, we take a look at the amount of fuel that's burning, what its yields are based on the environmental conditions in which that fuel is burning. These are all very critical aspects for us. So we need to understand the difference between mass and weight among energy, heat, and enthalpy. So what does mass mean? So what do you think mass means? Why do you think there's a difference between mass and weight? So mass is taken into consideration the size, right? And weight is taken into consideration of what it weighs in a particular environment. So let's say I weigh 200 pounds. Does somebody have a smartphone or a laptop handy? Look at what the equivalent weight would be on the moon. The moon would be approximately 25% of what you weigh on Earth. So the weight could be varied depending on what kind of environment. And then like on Venus, where it has a super dense atmosphere, it's way up there. So like a 200 pounds could be 1,000 pounds on Venus. So again, so weight is a gravitational component to what that gravitational pull on the Earth is, will determine what that weight is. And then on the moon, it's going to be different. But mass is a constant. It's, you know, it has its specific type of density based on its molecular weights and all that kind of stuff, all those issues. So let's take a look at measurement. Why is measurement so important for us? Keys to understanding fire phenomenon is we need to ask, when did the fire start? How rapid the growth? How hot and how severe the threat? So this is about measurement. And these are real critical things that we need to take a look at. It's basically like the who, what, when, and where in for our endeavor. So the SI unit, or System International, is the current international system. It deals with mass, it deals with length, it deals with time, electrical current, and temperature. So the SI system has led to a quantitative means of communication, because the rest of the world uses this. The scientific community in the United States uses the SI system. So the precision limits exist according to the measuring instruments. Okay to estimate calculated values as needed. So us in the fire service, we do a lot of estimations. We estimate water, we estimate, you know, pressures and stuff like that. We don't have time on the fire ground to pull out a slide rule or a scientific calculator to calculate everything. We just know based on experience that, you know, this happens, and whatever the temperature of the water is the temperature of the water warms up, its density becomes less, so its effective firepower will become less. So the cooler the water, the higher heat absorption it's going to have because it's going to be denser. So those are some of the little things that we need to take into consideration. So length, area, and volume units. Again, this is another very critical aspect for us in the fire service. So a meter is the basic SI unit of length. The length of the path of travel by light is 1,299,7.9258 of a second. So basically 186,000 miles per hour. SI dimensions is in multiples of 1,000, kilometers, meters, millimeters. Others are centimeters and decimeters and decameters and nanometers and so forth. So if we take a look at, this is table 1-1, 1-1 in your book. So these are what we call a coefficient table. And this is what I use. If I'm doing conversions and stuff like that, this is what I use. So if we take a look, let's take a couple samples here. So let's take a look at kilometer. Again, the abbreviation is KM. Metric equivalent of a kilometer is 1,000 meters. The English equivalent is 0.621 mile, or 3,280 feet. Meter, okay, abbreviation meter, metric equivalent is 1 meter is the unit. And then again, the English equivalent is 39.37 inches, or 3.28 feet. So one thing I do in my head, if I'm trying to, you know, I don't have this, just figure that a meter is 10% longer than a yard. And then decimeter, 0.10, so 1/10 of a meter, centimeter, 1/100 of a meter, millimeter, 1/1000, micrometer, 1 million, and nanometer is 10^3. So it just goes way, way down. But it's all in divisions of like of a thousand or 10, depending on what you're trying to do here. So length, area, and volume units continued. So area is a two-dimensional measurement. So when we look at wildland fires and stuff like that, we look at areas. So area is the length of the surface times its width. Small areas in the SI are square meters or square centimeters. English system is square inches or square feet. And so when we say, okay, X amount of square feet or X amount of square meters is burning, that gives us a good indication of what our energy yields are based on the fuel type. Larger areas are commonly done in the metric system are called hectares or HAs. 1 hectare is 10,000 square meters or 10 kilometers or 10 kilometers squared. English equivalent on 1 hectare is 2.47 English acres. Small areas, SI unit is square meters, square centimeters, English system, square inches, and square feet. So fire dynamic calculations. These are cross-sectional of an area of a vent for flow through the vent. So event like this here, or the vent could be a door, can give you an area of hot surface for the heat to be transferred to colder objects. So depending on the size and the area of that fire front, that's going to tell you how much energy that it can dump into the fuels ahead of it. So that's why wildland fires are so unpredictable, is because you have massive amounts of energy and the fuel is very porous, meaning it's thin for the most part, leaves, needles, thin twigs and stuff like that. So those will heat up pretty quickly, and then it just adds and it becomes a conflagration. Volume is three-dimensional. So rectangular space is the length multiplied by the width multiplied by the height, and that will give you the volume. So it could be cubic meters, cubic centimeters, etc. So a liter is a unit of liquid and gas volume equal to 1 cubic decimeter, 1,000 cubic centimeters equal to 0.264 gallons or 1.056 quarts. So these are some of the things that you can use to, like you're talking about, they were talking in liters and stuff like that. So these are things that you can use to just do a quick calculation to convert it into English. So mass and density units, okay? So the basic unit of mass is a kilogram. So 1 kilogram equals the mass of 1 liter of water as a basis. 1 gallon is 1/1000th of a kilogram, and then 1/1000th of a kilogram is 1 cubic centimeter. The English equivalent, see table to the right. So if we take a look at, this is table 1-2, SI units is related to gram with English equivalents. So a metric ton, metric equivalent is 10.3 kilograms or 1.10 US ton. Kilogram is 10 to the third grams or 2.2 pounds. Gram is 1 gram, is 0.03353 ounces, and then milligram, again, 10 to the third gram, or 2.2 times 10 to the minus sixth pound. So very, very small, and it just goes down to microgram and nanogram. Mass and density, so we have these terms, we have mass, weight, and density. So mass is grams per cubic centimeter, as you see here. Weight is kilograms per cubic meter or pounds per cubic foot. So that's what density is here. So density is telling you, so we have woods, right? Some woods are very, very light, like balsa is extremely light. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have ironwood. Ironwood, if you throw ironwood in water, it will sink. So density, so if we take a look at here, matter of fact, so water is one, is the one. So we use water as, when we're dealing with solids or liquid, water is our unit to base what our densities are, or our specific gravity. So if we take a look at water, water is one at 273 Kelvin, pressure at 1 pound, you know, 1 bar, right? Oils are 0.9 to 0.97. So what's that tell you about oils? And water is one. What's going to happen to the oils when it gets on water? It's going to float. So like gasoline, a lot of our hydrocarbon fuels will float on water. And so that's a big deal for us as we fight fire dealing with hydrocarbon fuels. Balsa wood is 0.11 to 0.14. So that is super, super light. That's why balsa wood is used in buoyancy aids and so forth, because of that factor, it's so light and less dense. Oak, 0.6 to 0.9. Window glass, 2.4 to 3.8. Aluminum, 2.7. Iron is 7.9, so 7 times denser than water, almost 8. And then granite, 2.6 to 2.8. Because granite varies depending on its makeup, you know, how much feldspar or how much orthoclase is in it. I mean, I can go into details about why they can, but that's what happens with it. So like asphalt, certain hydrocarbons are heavier than water and they will sink. So knowing these things, or very understanding these concepts about measurement and densities and all that stuff, is quite critical for us. Okay, so again, to denote relative prevalence of components. Concentration is a term, volume fraction, and then mass fraction. So concentration, component mass per unit volume. So when we look at concentration, what do you think concentration is important for us in the fire service? How about the combustion products in a confined space? So if we take this room, right, and let's say it's 5,000 parts per million of carbon monoxide in here. Now, if I take this room and I cut that room in half, you know, compress it down, what's going to happen to that concentration of carbon monoxide if I half the space but the same volume of carbon monoxide? So 5,000, it's going to go to what, 10,000. So these are real critical aspects. So understanding what these concentration, what the percentage of a combustion product, be it carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, benzenes, hydrogen cyanide, hydrogen sulfide, there's a whole host of different things. to take into consideration. So that's why these understanding of these are very important. And so volume fraction is commonly used with gases, so we could have a gas mixture, right? So like in this room, and we could say, okay, the fire's burning, it's producing this amount of CO2, so the CO2 will make up a certain percentage in this environment, depending on what type of fire, how clean the fire is burning. So the cleaner the fire is burning, the more CO2 is going to be produced. And when the fire is burning less clean, especially in a smolder condition, carbon monoxide is going to be the prevalent thing. So can anybody tell me why carbon monoxide is such a big hazard in a... So, thing about carbon monoxide, one, it's odorless, two, it's tasteless, three, it produces carboxyhemoglobin. And so what happens is if you have oxygen and you have carbon monoxide, the hemoglobin of the blood will have an affinity 200 times greater to that carbon monoxide component than it does to oxygen. So you can have a small fire in a residential setting that, even though it's not a big fire and it's smoldering, it's pumping out fairly large amounts of carbon monoxide. You can get like 20% of the products can be carbon monoxide. And if that just keeps pumping and pumping, the oxygen concentration in the room may not vary all that much, but since that carbon monoxide is being added, and so, and also it makes carbon monoxide very dangerous is the fact that it's a narcotic. Can somebody tell me what the definition of a narcotic is? What's it? What's its primary function? What will it do to you? What's that? Yeah, so mind altering. So your level of consciousness changes. It induces sleep. So when we talk about narcosis, that is the inducement of sleep. So anybody that you drink alcohol in excess, you're starving your brain of oxygen, and so therefore your level of consciousness, and you want to go to sleep. So alcohol, pot, opioids, all these things work on that. And carbon monoxide does the same thing. So anything that alters the oxygen level in the brain, because we all know that the brain is the most sensitive to oxygen deprivation. It will be the first organ literally to die off if the oxygen supply is cut. It's very vulnerable to that. So the time units between the English system and the metric system are still the same, based on, you know, millisecond would be 1/1000th of a second, microsecond, you know, down, and then nanosecond down from that. Time units. Okay, so let's take a look at this. So for us, in the fire service, the time in which or how a fire is progressing, how many acres it consumes in a quote-unquote 12-hour burn period, or sometimes fires overnight can double or triple. So knowing these things and having a way to look at these things is critical on how we're going to fight these fires, or how we're going to deal with it, how we try and get people out of harm's way. Oops. So speed. The rate in which an object is moving. So people confuse speed and velocity. They're two different things. Velocity is you're taking consideration the direction in which something is going. So when we talk about firearms, weapons, systems, just as an example, it's not given the speed of the projectile, it's the velocity, because when that it's fired out of that weapon system, it's going a specific direction. Same with water streams. What's the velocity of a fire truck? So speed should be velocity, because a truck is going a specific direction. But speed is just telling you the rate at which something is traveling, and velocity is putting the direction in which that object is traveling and with its speed. So it can be either meters per second, kilometers per hour. Velocity is the speed of in a chosen direction. Acceleration is the change in speed. Either it could be acceleration, meaning that it's increasing. So like when you throw on the gas in your car and you're jumping on the highway, you're accelerating. But there's also deacceleration too, so you could fall off. So acceleration is telling you there's a change of speed. There's acceleration, and then when you're slowing down, deacceleration. But they all mean the same thing, that there's a change in your speed. Force and pressure units. So where do you think these are going to be important? Yeah. So it's going to be important in looking at water supplies, being able to get water on the fire, and pressure and force units on the structural integrity of things. So if you're fighting a structure fire, right, especially in an old building, and you know it's burning on the roof, and you throw tons of water on that roof, and the scups or the means of draining are blocked, and you put all that water on top of that, that force and pressure can collapse it. So that's where these force units and things are very critical. So basic units in the SI system is called a Newton. The force needed to accelerate the mass of 1 kilogram at the rate of 1 meter per second squared. English system is 1 pound of force to accelerate 1 pound of mass at the rate of 32.2 feet per second. And 1 newton is the equivalent of 0.224 pounds of force. We'll go for a little bit more and then we'll take a short break. So pressure, the force per unit area. So the basic unit is the Pascal. Common English units of pressure is pounds per square inch or manometers. And that, I just only mentioned, I've seen stuff in the old thing, calculations for hydraulics. They used to use it. I haven't seen it anywhere since the late 70s. But it just needs to be mentioned because it does exist. But it's not used. And if you read in your book, they all talk about it and saying this is really not used anymore. Okay, so now we need to take a look at what energy and enthalpy are. Again, enthalpy is another buzzword that means energy. So can somebody tell me from reading what is the difference between energy and power? There is a difference. So what do you think the difference between energy and power is? Anybody? So energy is telling you that something is happening. There's expenditure of work. So if I take this and I drop this, that's energy. Because it was potential energy, stored energy, and now I drop it and hit the table. So that's energy, meaning that work is taking place. But now let's say I had a sensor on this table and I take this tablet and I drop it, and now it measures, okay, that was 30 joules of energy. So what it's doing is power is the quantifying of the energy over a period of time. And energy is telling you what type of energy is. So the energy can be kinetic, or mechanical, such as doing that. It could be chemical. It could be heat. So energy is that, but power is quantifying that. So like in a vehicle, right? Let's take a look at that. So if I have a vehicle, I'm burning the fuel in the engine. The engine is converting it to mechanical energy. It's going through a drivetrain, going to the wheels, and the wheel is propelling that vehicle. So that's energy. So that's mechanical energy. But now if I take that and I have the wheels on a diameter to measure what kind of horsepower is being generated or how many watts are being produced, now I'm quantifying what's happening there. We need to be able to make a distinction between what power is and what energy is. So when we talk about energy, 99.9% of the time, the energy issues are the transfer of heat to a system. So the burning of the fuel is converting it into heat, and that heat is producing pressure and so forth. Raises the pressure within the volume, increases the temperature, increases the spread outside of the room. So fire is the quintessential form of chemical energy of an oxidation variety. So basic SI units of enthalpy, energy, and heat. Joule, either thermal or mechanical energy. So 1 joule is 0.239 calorie, or cal. 4.187 joule is equal to 1 calorie. And calorie, the energy needed to heat 1 gram of water by 1 degree Celsius. So heat of combustion and effective heats of combustion. These are two critical points. These are the basic things we use to help us determine the type of fuels we're dealing with and how they burn. So units for both is kilojoules per gram. English units for the enthalpy is foot-pounds or British thermal units. So we use these. So heat of combustion is when the fire is burning at its maximum potential. So the maximum amount of fuel is being converted into heat energy, and not there's very little waste in terms of incomplete combustion. But effective heats of combustion is taking into consideration the environment in which that fire is burning. It could be burning in a confined space that's oxygen deprived. And so it takes into consideration incomplete products of combustion and so forth, where the heat of combustion is done, when they test it, it's done what they call an oxygen bomb. So it's done in a super oxygenated, ventilated environment so that they could figure out what, if that fuel is burning at its highest potential, what the energy yield is going to be. And then the effective heats of combustion will take into consideration the flaming portion and also the smoldering portion energy yields. So do you folks want to take a short break? Like a 10-minute break, so if people need to... Alright, so before the break, we are basically talking about our power units and so forth. Let's see. So, in order to map energy and what energy produces, we have to be able to quantify it. So, power is the rate at which enthalpy or energy is expended. So horsepower, BTUs, watts, what have you, joules, all these things are commonly used. So horsepower is the English system, watts is the SI system. And British thermal units is the English, especially when you're dealing with heat units. So like they'll say this air conditioner or this heater produces 12,000 BTUs an hour or what have you. And it's telling you what it's capable of doing, air conditioning or heating. This is an example. And temperature units, measure of the substance warmth or coldness. So temperature is actually measuring the molecular activity of matter. So the how energetic the material is. So anything above absolute zero is producing a heat signature of what we call the thermal heat. Anything at absolute zero, it means all molecular motion has come to a complete stop. No energy whatsoever. But anything above absolute zero will have a signature. So that's why we can measure it. So the SI system uses Celsius and the Kelvin scale. Kelvin is commonly used on determining optical or light opacity, meaning or the yield. So like these lights at full thing might be 41K or fire. So a fire will look at it, it might be 38K or 3000K or, 30,000K. It's a means of kind of determining what kind of light's being produced, and that can give us an idea of energy yields for fires by looking at that. So let's take a look at the basic thing. This, everybody in this class should be able to do these conversions. So water freezes at 0 degrees Celsius. Water boils at 100 degrees Celsius. Lowest temperature is minus 273.15 C, or absolute zero, and the Kelvin scale. Kelvin scale is zero, is absolute zero. So the Kelvin scale doesn't have a negative temperature. So that could be a potential quiz question. What means of measuring temperature does not have a negative temperature? And that would be Kelvin. Kelvin is zero, and it goes up from there. So from Celsius to Kelvin, you add 273 to the Celsius, and that will give you what your Kelvin is. So to convert from Kelvin to Celsius, minus, subtract 273.15, or minus 273 from the Celsius, and that will give you converting, so the Kelvin, you'll minus that, and that will give you what your Celsius is. Because you'll see in the text, they'll talk about Celsius and they'll talk about Kelvin interchangeably. That's normal. English system, the Fahrenheit scale. Water freezes at 32 degrees. So water boils at 212 degrees at sea level. Because as elevation changes, the boiling point of water will shift based upon elevation because of atmospheric pressure. The more atmospheric pressure, can somebody look up for me what the boiling point of water would be at Death Valley? Because that's way below sea level. So just out of curiosity. Somebody could just research that, and then when you, what's that?
212 degrees. 212.
Well, 212 degrees.
That's what it says. Like,
oh yeah, but in Death Valley, it's actually going to be slightly higher than 212. 212 is normally at sea level, but as you go down. Yeah.
That's just what it says right here.
Yeah, but it's going to be different because as elevation increases, the boiling point of water decreases. So that's why. Yeah, I'm just trying to say. So like your cooling system for liquid cooled engines, right? They're pressurized, so they build up pressure because the higher the pressure that's in there, that's going to make the boiling point of water be much higher than it would be in under normal atmospheric conditions.
It says 282 for in Death Valley. What? So weird.
There's like a little scale right here too. Mount Everest is going to boil 260 degrees.
Yeah, and then on Everest, it's going to be. I mean, what's the boiling point of water on Everest, the highest? It's amazing. As elevation increases, it really drops off. So that's why it takes so much longer. If anybody backpacks, which I do quite a bit of, I've been at 10,000, 12,000 feet, and you know what you would cook on Earth, I mean, down at sea level, takes quite a bit longer to do there because it doesn't get as hot. So let's take a look at some conversions. So Fahrenheit to Celsius, you take the Fahrenheit minus 32 degrees, divide by 1.8, will give you the Celsius equivalent. And then if you want to convert Celsius to Fahrenheit, you take 1.8, multiply that times the Celsius component, and add 32 to it. And if we want, we can do at the end of class, we can do some calculations. So is anybody confused on how that works? So we'll spend some time after the end. We'll try and play around with some numbers as a class and do some exercises with it. So conversion factors. MKS system, length, meters. Mass, kilograms, times, seconds. Customary system, length, GGS system, length is centimeters, mass is grams, time is seconds. So what they mean by MKS is gross measurement, basically. And the CGS system is dealing with much smaller units. So let's, in summary, these are things we need to be aware of. Ability to measure and quantify is essential to understanding fire phenomena. Basic measurements for fire phenomena are time, length, area, volume, mass, density, force, pressure, enthalpy, and energy, power, and temperature. So remember we talked about the 10 things to quantify? So that right there hits it and puts it in perspective. There are multiple units for each of these measurements, metric and English. Metric units are most widely used worldwide. English units remain in use in the U.S. Can somebody tell me what other country uses the SI system? I think there's one or two other countries that use the, that use the English system. Familiarity with various units and their interconversion can minimize the change in making serious calculation error. So like your example, you're talking about, Mike, about converting liters to gallons. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, for us, we know that if this burning, we know we need X amount of gallons. Well, if we try and say, okay, well, we'll make that equivalent to liters, you'll be woefully, it's, I think, what, 2.2 liters per gallon, something like that. So those are critical things that we need to know. So that's why when we talk about equivalency, we need to do a direct exchange. So with the metric equivalent to what a gallon is and what a gallon is to the metric. So they got across so that the units are equal, so that when you do these conversions, you're less apt to make a very bad calculation. So that basically covers the presentation for tonight. So do we want to spend a few minutes doing some calculations on the board? Temperature conversions and stuff like that? Anybody like to do that? You can raise your, we got time. Okay. So what we'll do is we'll do roll, and if anybody has any questions or concerns, we'll take care of that, and then we will adjourn a little bit early. So just be aware that there's going to be some days where I'm going to take it literally right almost up to 10 o'clock. So, but you know, like anything else, like when I was in the fire service, if we got our work done and everybody's comfortable with the flow and so forth, I don't mind knocking off a little early. But I'm used to where if we need to spend extra time to get something done, I don't mind doing that either. So those are critical things.
You're on campus, right?
I'm going to be putting up, so everybody, I'm going to be putting up the audio. All right, so this is basically what I'm going to be looking for and I'd like people to study. So you need to know what determines area. What is the quantity of a substance in a mixture per unit volume of a mixture? So we talked about that today. It starts with a C, right? So you need to know that.
What was that again?
What is the quantity of a substance in a mixture per unit volume of a mixture?
So quality of substance.
Yep. Per unit volume of a mixture. So like if we use this room as an example. So the choices are mass, concentration, mass fraction, or volume fraction. So one of those is absolutely correct. The other ones are absolutely wrong. The ratio of a mass of a component in a mixture to the total mass of a mixture. Again, you have density, concentration, mass fraction, and volume fraction. So again, one of those is absolutely correct, and one is absolutely wrong. So remember, so you need to know the difference between what mass fraction is and concentration and so forth.
And it's ratio of a mass.
Yep. So you need to know that. Volume is determined by what measurement? So you need to know how do we determine volume? And there could be a written question, one of the short answer questions talking about the, you know, I'm gonna give you this and I want you to give me the volume of this. So you need to know how we determine what volume is. What are the two temperature scales used in the SI system of measurement? So what are the two main things that we use? What is the basic SI unit for force? Is it the Pascal, Newton, pressure, or manometer? Again, used for force. The term is very specific. One of those is absolutely right, and one is absolutely wrong. The basic SI unit of length. So what do we use as the basic unit of length? Is it a foot, a meter, an inch, or a millimeter? So one of those is exactly correct. And the others aren't even close. What is the basic SI unit for mass? Is it cubic centimeter, liter, hectare, or kilogram? So what do we use in the SI system for determining mass? What is the basic SI unit for determining pressure? Is it Newton, manometer, Pascal, or atmosphere? What is the current international measurement system? Is it the metric system, the international unit, the EEL system, or the conversion unit? So one of those is correct. So what is used internationally as the predominant means of measurement? What is the English equivalent of a kilometer? What is the English equivalent of a kilometer? So remember we talked about in tonight's presentation, we talked about equivalency. So it's asking what that is. And remember we did that in our class activity. And the choices are 1 mile, 1,000 feet, 3,280 feet, or 328 miles.
Is there a time limit on the test?
What's that?
Is there a time limit on the test?
The quizzes are open for 35 minutes. So people generally have not enough time. You have plenty of time. What is the English equivalent of a meter? Is it 1 foot, 1,000 feet, 3,280 feet, or 3.28 feet? What SI unit is commonly used to describe the volume of a liquid and gas? So is it a liter, millimeter, hectare, or metered squared? So what do we use for liquids and gases? Which of the following is a term used for zero on the Kelvin scale? Is it thermal zero, true zero, gradient zero, or absolute zero? The Kelvin scale is a very specific term, and we just looked at it. Which of the following temperature scales do not have a negative temperature? Is it Celsius, Fahrenheit, Kelvin, or centigrade that does not have a negative temperature? Gesundheit. Which of the following terms is used to describe the speed in a chosen direction? Is it pressure, acceleration, force, or velocity? Which is the following terms used to describe the basic SI unit of enthalpy, energy, or heat? Is it Kelvin, the Newton, the Pascal, or the Joule? For the SI system. Which of the following terms is used to describe the rate at which an object is moving? Is it acceleration? Is it force? Is it speed? Or is it pressure? Which of the following terms is used to describe the rate at which an enthalpy or energy is expended? Is it power? Is it the Newton, the calorie, or force? So what basic term will describe how energy is expended, how it is quantified? What is the overall term used for that? Which of the following terms is used to describe the rate of change in speed? Is it acceleration, velocity, force, or pressure? So any 10 of those potential areas can be used on your quiz. And so let's say if you've taken the test and you're taking the test, you're not going to get the same questions. The questions will be randomized, the answers will be randomized within the questions, and then any two of the class activities we did tonight will be used as your for your short essay. So does everybody understand what the quizzes are worth? Anybody have any questions? I know there were some people who weren't here last week. So the quizzes are worth 20 points. 10 of the questions will be multiple choice, and then they're worth 10 points. And then the questions 11 and 12 will be worth 5 points apiece, and those will be the short answer. And those will always be based upon, if you go to the website, when you do look at the presentation, the challenging questions at the end, or the class activity we do in class will be the basis for those written short essay questions. Does anybody, before we do roll, does anybody have any questions about anything about the class? Anything that's confusing? You know, this is the time to ask. So everybody's fine with the, does everybody know how to navigate the website? Does anybody have any questions on navigation of the website? How many people have looked at it, the website? Okay, because that is where your tests are. So do we want to take a few minutes just to look at the website?
No.
Okay. If anybody, so after I've done the roll, welcome to leave, but if anybody wants to stay, and needs to review anything about at web access, I will take the time to do it. So it's important because now the course is actually getting underway. So if you, it's easy to fall behind, especially in a college level class. Jonathan Alvarez. Sam Bellinger?
Here.
Bobby Barnett? Bobby Barnett going once, going twice. Royce Brashear?
Here.
Bernie Castro? Bernie Castro going once, going twice. Chris Chandler? Gotcha. Is that Evan, how do you say it, Churn?
Churnette.
Okay, is it with a T at the end?
No.
Okay, all right. Dalton Copeland?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you get a copy of just the quick and dirty assignment paper and timeline for the class?
Yeah, you gave it.
Okay, yeah, all right. Jonathan DeLeon?
Who are you?
Gotcha. Nick, is it Delozio?
Deloso.
Deloso, okay. Don't worry, people mess my name up all the time. So, the time should all... Luis Diaz? Oscar Dominguez? Danny Drohan? Brandon Endington? Louis Elgin.
Here.
Cameron Fernandez.
Here.
Marco Garcia. Rebecca Gary.
Here.
Gotcha. Cody Gerhardt. Gabriel Gomez. Is that Wesley Henanon? James Jacobs? Mike Josephson? There you are. Is it Josephson? Is that
Josephson?
Josephson, okay. Is that Dutch or
Swedish?
Kevin Kunkel? He's one of my online ones. Christian Leon? Devin Manson, Brian Medros, Joshua Mayer. Blake Monson.
Here.
Jason Moran. Joey Murphy.
Here.
Monica. Oh, that's she's online. Christopher Pullen. Christopher Pullen going once, going twice. Dylan, you're here. Courtney Rogers. Huh? There you go, okay. Wade Songer. Wade Songer, there you are, okay. Brandon Sosa. Thank you. Dylan Valuch. Dylan Valuch. Jack Villick, there you are, Jack. Right in front of me. Lucas Whitley. Is there anybody I did not call?
Yeah.
What's the last name?
Montiel.
Montiel, okay, yeah, you're on the ad.
No.
Anybody else I did not call?